Sorry, I see me talking too much.
Yeah, please.
If you take fear of like cut.
Yeah.
At the height of the Enlightenment. Mm-hmm. Representing again a class which is, as you describe it, on top of the history that is being made. In, as Marx said, in the minds of the philosophers, but soon to be made on the machines of Leeds and Manchester. And produces a philosophy of highly articulated alienation, rationalized, total and abysmal alienation, where a man's speculative intellect is totally alienated from his practical intellect, where both are totally alienated from his aesthetic judgment, and where the functions of the kingdom of ends are totally alienated from reality itself. In fact, if I had to do so, which I haven't, fortunately, I would describe Kant as the philosopher of alienation. And the prophet of the alienated society that was then being formed sociologically and was about to recreate an alienated world. Yet it wasn't in a tragic situation.
No, it wasn't tragic.
No,
it was pathetic. But in Kant, was an intelligent person. He developed his philosophy of history in that thing of which I always forget the title, Versucht eine Geschichte in weltbürgerlicher Absicht, I believe it is. Essay of a world history in cosmopolitan intention. And there he develops a progressivist type of ideology. Understanding the progress, an infinite approach to a perfectly rational society. And then he, since he's making these concessions to the age, he's an intelligent person, his common sense, he reflects, expresses his preferendum, his little shock or something like that, that apparently we have nothing to do but to be the stepping stones for future generations. And we, in our turn, are on a level which has been prepared by others before us. And none of us is ever in the perfection except the last generation. And that cannot be the meaning of existence for man, that is only a stepping stone for future generations. So
that's one level, but for the other level, you recognize that man is engaged in a titanic moral struggle, in which he is by definition defeated, because he can never do what he ought to do. Since everything that he actually does must be motivated by the ego, and everything that he ought to do ought not to be motivated.
He's an open mind towards his various problems.
So obviously from the beginning of this discussion I've been driving, and I hope you now detect, I've been driving to see what your notion of the tragic situation of man is. And I would just like to ask you once again.
It's a practical problem. We were always talking partly about ethical problems, partly about the public legal problem.
Yeah.
You cannot start a huge affair of education for everybody who commits crimes. It's a shortcut how to protect society, certain purposes, short of finding out all about the environmental causes, and short of healing him in some way, submitting him to a therapy.
In fact, like we say, just in the thing that you're speaking about, that is it, when would this begin? When would one begin? We say now, obviously, what you're talking about in your own work, we say, or the case is right. You are, we say, a philosopher. We say, just one of the many names that you could be calling a philosopher. When would one begin with people in school, and how would one begin with people to begin them, to begin, say, whatever it is, extending their own spirit or appropriating themselves, reflecting upon who they are in attention towards the transcendent?
Yes.
How would you figure? When should this be begun, and how should
it begin? Well, when I was in high school, beginning with the fourth class, I bought my first splits, the skeleton history. And we worked it through on occasion of the courses in history in class. You know? And there are all these names occurred, and we knew something about the skeleton dates of history and so on. And these students nowadays don't know this thing. That schizophrenia problem. That is what we corresponded about. That's the question, because he said he's a psychologist, and I always ask anybody who says he's a psychologist, he should explain to me, because I couldn't find out what is going on in men like Hegel or Marx, who are not exactly stupid, and who know perfectly well that the system which they construct is wrong, and say so, and do it nevertheless. Obviously a schizoid type, you know? And that problem of what looks like schizophrenia, that worried me, you know?
Yeah.
It's characteristic of most of the so-called modern thinkers in the 18th century, you know? Especially, say, in Marx, for instance, in his Paris manuscript, where he develops his conception of the socialist man, and he had a good philosophical education, and he knew that the problem of human existence is always the quest of the divine ground, you know? And then he simply says, yes, all that is so, but I simply do not ask these questions, and I invite you not to ask them either. Be a socialist man and don't ask questions. That's, I'm quoting literally. That is what he says in the Paris manuscript. You know? And he stuck to that to his death, knowing perfectly well that it was all wrong, because he had a classical philosophical education. So how do these things happen? That was the problem I was asked. They have the same problem in Hegel and other such thinkers.
You have an Austrian philosopher, Kleber. Yes, Kleber.
I don't know him.
He's written a book on the pre...
But did you come to some type of articulation of this problem, and you said that
you have had it? Yeah, for the modern cases. I did not think of how many this is. Okay. What looks like a split personality, like a divided self in the sense of Lange, you might say, deformation of the original tension between the divine and the human in the existential tension. The search for the ground. As a man, as God, you are in search of the divine ground. And when you now abolish that tension because you want to have nothing to do with God, the problem of the existential tension doesn't disappear. But in your intellectual production, you must be, on the one hand, the man who is in search, and then a second self, which gives you the answers, which no longer come from the divine ground, but from the second self which you have to invent for that purpose. So you get, you might say, in the state of alienation, the structure of existential tension, repeated as immanent to the ego. Immanent to the ego. One self represents God, the other man represents the man.
Is that what you mean? You mentioned, say, you regarded Hegel as a mystic
marquee,
for example.
Yeah, but I wasn't able yet to express it in that manner. But that is, for instance, Hegel's problem. He is, on the one hand, as he describes in the preface to the Encyclopedia, the logos before the creation of the world and of man, in the sense of St. John. He's the logos. On the other hand, he's Professor Hegel, and the logos, Hegel tells Professor Hegel how to write a Hegel system. With that split. Yeah. So that is not a schizophrenia in the clinical sense, you see, but that is a peculiar deformation of the existential tension.
Yeah.
In which both the human and the divine pole of the tension must be represented by two different selves in the ego.
Yeah.